present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello. Hello and welcome to a new series of I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. Quote, the wittiest and most original comedy show in the history of the world, ever. That's how some people have described this program. Let me introduce them to you now. On my right, Willie Rushton and Tim Brooke Taylor. On my left, Graham Garden and Barry Cryer. And here she is, positively rejuvenated by her summer job in Rio. Please welcome my lovely scorer, Samantha. Right, let's start the series with some very strange noises. No, this isn't a singing round, but a game called Sounds Peculiar. Teams, I'm going to ask you to identify some odd sounds. Barry, here's your sound coming up now.
That's Cecil Parkinson withdrawing from the cabinet.
Yes. Tim, here's your sound coming up.
That's Beethoven's fifth double brandy. And also Cecil Parkinson withdrawing from the piquet. One loose screw and... No, sorry.
Feeling on the dotted line.
Graham Garden, here's your sound.
I think that was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turnips.
An everyday story of folksy... Willie!
What? Sounded like a young Barry Cryer was in that crowd scene. Sorry, Pumper, just mentioned it.
Willie, here's your sound coming up.
Thank you.
Don't cry for me, Argentina. The truth is...
There is nothing like a day. Nothing in the world.
That's a steamy scene of passion involving Evita Sackville-West.
Any more on that before we hurry along to the next item? Each week at this time, I give the teams notice of the ball to which they'll be announcing the late arrivals at the end of the program. And teams, at the end of this program, you'll be announcing the arrivals at the Euro Ball. The Euro Ball.
Euro ball.
Great. The Euro ball. Ball. Now, it's time for our ever popular singing round. The teams are going to set one another a theme upon which they must improvise a blues number, a madrigal, or a calypso. As usual, they'll be accompanied by the Colin Sell Holiday on Ice. So, Graham and Barry, you're going to go first. Will you suggest a subject and a style for Tim and Willie?
That's fair enough. ERM.
ERM.
ERM. What style are you going to
style
do?
Of madrigal.
As I was walking down the lane, I chanced upon John Major. I imagined You've got good news.
Can I have the tune, please, Colin?
News for me. Good news you have, I'll wager. Oh, tell me, will we all be rich? He said that, I can affirm. We'll all be bleeding millionaires, we're going into earn.
Yes, you can have some points for that. And now, Jim and Willie, give Barry and Graham a subject and style.
Well, we thought, given the recent cheerful events across Europe, they could do a madrigal. Why not? Because we haven't had the tune yet.
About East Germany, isn't it?
Yes, an East German madrigal to test them.
Well done, Colin.
As I walked out one May morning, I read Germany was reunited. And all the poor folk in the East exclaimed, we are delighted.
But
then a mighty earthquake struck, and the buildings made wild movements.
And when the dust had finally cleared, it had had thousands of pounds of improvement.
And you can have points too, but not quite as many. And now, at last, a truly brilliant game which will display the team's wit and intelligence to the full. It's a game called Tag Wrestling. I'm going to give each team the punchline of a story and start one of you off telling a story to fit your punchline. When I get bored, I'll do this, and a member of the opposing team will take up the story and adapt it to their punchline. The winner is the first person to understand the rules of this game, or alternatively, the first person to reach his punchline, whichever happens first. Now, punchlines. Tim and Willie, yours is, he grabbed it at each end, cut it in half, and declared the supermarket open. All right, while he's scribbling that, I'll give Graham and Barry yours. The elephant opened the box and took out a carrot shaped like Simon Fanshawe. Barry and Graham, you've had the longest to think, so Tim and Willie, Tim and Willie, will you start, please?
Cecil Parkinson one day woke up in the morning and said, good heavens, who are you? I'm your wife, said Mrs. Parkinson. Oh, well, there's a novelty, she said. And he went downstairs, and when he got downstairs, there was a letter in the post which said, dear Cecil.
Put that away. I don't want to read the post at the moment. I've got to sort this circus business out. Big charity circus, because Cecil, as you know, does a lot of charity work. He really puts himself about. No time for breakfast. Rev up the car and let's get down into the town and sort that circus business out. Mummy! And got to the circus and said, is everybody here, particularly the elephant, which
had died?
And even Cecil draws the line at dead elephants. So, he decided to go back and thumb through the post, which is also quite fun. And there's his letter saying, dear sir, will you come and open our supermarket?
Great.
The letter said, dear sir, good news, the replacement elephant has arrived. All you have to do is to make your way to the docks at Southampton and pick it up. But it's a very fussy elephant, and you will need to find some way of enticing it out of the boat. Some little treat, perhaps, that you could wrap up in a box.
And the best place to buy one of those would be in a supermarket. And while you're in the supermarket, Cecil, if I can call you that, would you perhaps open it for us? Because we need someone important, and as we couldn't get one, we decided one that was nearly important. So if you go down to the local branch of, now, who could I get most money out of? Sainsbury's, or maybe it was,
I've no time for that, said Cecil. There are more pressing matters. I must go down there and meet the replacement elephant, which was, in fact, John Hurt, being even better than usual. But it was going to serve. It was going to serve. Now, what are the props, the adjuncts to this great elephant act, said Cecil? Now, look.
So he wandered over to the elephant, grabbed a DJ, cut it in half, and declared the supermarket open.
You can answer all the letters from elephant lovers. At this point, we were going to have a formation display by the Nebworth Ladies Cha-Cha Club, but instead we're going to play a game called Paranoia. Both teams are laboring under a delusion. No surprises there. But the delusion is known only to us and the opposing team. The deluded team should ask questions to discover their complaint. Tim and Willie, you start. Your paranoia is going up now on the court's laser display board. And here for you at home is the mystery voice.
They think they're women priests. They think they're women priests.
Right. Will you start interrogating, please, Tim and Willie?
We think we're something.
We think we're something. We think we are.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. We're both the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And about time, too.
That shortens the odds. Yeah.
We're famous people?
Yet to be, not at the moment, but hopefully
so. We'll be famous for doing whatever it is we are.
Oh, the first people who do it will be famous, yes.
Oh, be funny on this program. Yes, Willie.
I'm just recapping in my mind.
We're going to be something famous, possibly.
No, we're going to be something, and by becoming that something, we're going to be famous for it.
Right.
Which suggests an operation.
Are we?
Yes.
An operation.
The operation, is it?
The operation, yes. Well, we're having a nose job. We're not changing sex, are we? Gosh, that was quick.
You are not. You are not.
Who
changing
is?
Sex, per se. Or even...
No, you call me per se.
We're changing Percy's sex. And when
one
we're
way
getting
of looking at it, yes.
Yes. We're getting rid of our Percy's. We're not pointing them at porcelain anymore.
I should tell you there is a time limit.
There is a time limit. What, for the operation or just to...
There will be no porcelain pointing in this ambiance.
Are we going to be in the ladies' loo or something? Are we going to this ambiance?
There was an applause.
Ladies,
there.
Women. We're going to become nice women.
Well,
okay. Shapely, seductive women.
Shapely, seductive.
Oh, deeply attractive women. We're going to become. We
doesn't necessarily go with the job.
No, it's not germane to the
Greer. These are women. We're not only changing sex. We're going to adopt a profession, are we?
You're not changing sex.
Why?
Well, we're going to be. What, are we going to do something that women aren't able to do at the moment?
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to be prime ministers. No. We're
going to be priests.
No.
Very good.
You took an incredibly long time to get that. I read it in a couple of seconds through. Through the back of the see-through laser display board.
We actually couldn't see that. We were trying, but...
Eyes shut now, Barry and Graham. Because your paranoia is going up on the display board. And here for you at home is the mystery board.
They think they're friends of Jeremy Beadle. They think they're friends of Jeremy Beadle.
Right, everybody except Barry and Graham knows the answer to this one now. Barry and Graham, start interrogating the others, please.
Well, it's something that raised a laugh, wasn't it?
Not usually, no.
Not in
decent society. Are we labouring under the delusion we're a group of people?
No.
Well, yes, yes.
Well, turn it up with
them. In fact, you are the full complement of the club.
A group of two. Liberal Democrats.
No. It's not too similar.
Two.
But not quite as amusing.
Has this got a political context?
Nil.
Not at all.
Show business context?
Hardly.
Hardly.
Little and large have nothing to do with this, have they?
Not even they would have anything to do with it.
Are they of mixed sex, this group of two?
Stand up.
Yes, I thought I
You are these people, whether you're mixed...
Your sex doesn't come into it. You'll be very happy to hear that.
Don't we think they're two sexless, unfunny people?
Warmer.
You are the sole representatives of these people, but what you are is what you are.
Ah, I'm glad we've cleared that up.
Yeah.
So we are representatives of a wider group of these people.
Probably not much wider.
No.
I'll have to hurry you along.
Good.
There's not many shopping days left to Christmas.
You have a certain liking for something or even somebody, which is unbelievable.
Oh, are we a fan club?
Jeffrey Archer fan club.
Oh, don't be silly.
No, sorry. Ridiculous.
He did say two.
Yes.
There's only one of them.
But he speaks well of himself.
Yes.
Jeremy Beadle fan club.
Ah.
And with the score ticking along nicely, we're going on to misleading advice. This is a wonderful game. Britain holds many attractions for the interested tourist. And teams, I'd like you to come up with some guidelines and suggestions for the first-time visitor to these shores. We'll start with you, Willie Rushton.
As we approach 1992, driving on the right-hand side of the road is now optional.
Graham.
If you're staying with a British family, it is considered polite on leaving to pay their poll tax.
Tim.
The old market in Bond Street is worth a visit, but don't forget to haggle.
Do join in the old custom of vaulting the gates of Downing Street.
If you're anywhere in the vicinity of the Prince of Wales, then a traditional cry of break a leg, Charlie, will always go down.
See the waxworks in the House of Lords.
Make use of the London policeman. Hello, Bobby, you say. Be an absolute pig and show us the way to Ruislip.
Remember, in this country, taxi queues face backwards.
If you see any red and white cones on the motorway, pick them up.
And don't forget to pack your shotguns, because there's fine hunting at Longleat, Whipsnade.
Tim, enjoy football. Go to Tottenham and join in the traditional Spurs supporters' cries, encouraging chants like, "We are the Gunners. We are Arsenal."
You had a postscript.
When entering the gents, it is protocol to smile at everybody and shout, "Hello, naughty."
Any advance on that? Any more? Right. Well, let's go on to the next game. The teams are going to now show us everything they've got. So you may want to ask the children to leave the room. Yes, it's Limerick time. I'm going to give the teams a fertile first line from which, line by line, they should construct a limerick. If there's any foul play, you'll hear this. Unless, of course, you hear this.
And now on Radio 2, it's 3 hours of non-stop music with sing-alonger Willie Rushton.
Which means you're having a ghastly nightmare. Barry, here's your first line coming up now. In the middle of singing a hymn,
I was jostled by old Francis Pym.
Very topical.
He tripped over a hassock.
A hassock. Thing you kneel on. Hassock. A sort of lumpy thing. Sand in it.
Over a hassock. Looked right up my cassock.
And exclaimed, goodness me, hello, Tim.
Tim, I've got one for you now.
Oh, lucky old me.
In the middle of singing a psalm,
Michael Heseltine turned on the charm.
He shook his wild locks.
Removed both his socks.
Which set off the fire alarm.
Graham, you've earned yourself a first line now, and it's this. In the middle of singing an anthem...
In the middle of singing an anthem, the Archbishop lisped, my, your anthem.
At which Norman Lamont
toppled into the font.
He was pushed by that old bitch from Grantham.
Willie. Let's have a change now. Willie, in the middle of singing a carol...
Geoffrey Howe cried, your turn in the barrel.
That's a bit of a bummer.
said John Selwyn, come on.
As Cecil whipped off his apparel.
Gosh, level pegging. It's time for another musical round now, and I use that term advisedly. The teams are going to sing some songs of my choosing while simultaneously performing the act of self...
That's easy for you to say. God, this isn't television.
It's actually too horrible to think about. Self-expurgation. Medical assistance will be provided by Dr. Colin Sell. Tim and Willie, will you sing a censored version of Underneath the Arches?
No.
Oh, come on.
Underneath the arches, I dream my dreams away. Underneath the arches, on cobblestones I... Every night you'll meet me, tired out and warm.
When the daylight...
comes creeping, heralding the dawn. When it's raining, and when it's fine, trains rattling by, above,
after what? Shut up.
Love, no matter where I... Underneath the arches, I might away.
I love those old songs.
I used to.
Graham and Barry, will you sing your censored version of My Favorite Things?
And
Right, that puts you in the lead. That was good. You, Tim and Willie, you'll never catch up, but we might as well go. We're nearly at the end of the show now, but the ball season is with us once again, and this week there's a European flavour, so while Samantha and I go off to compare our meat subsidies... Order. Would you teams please announce the new arrivals at the Euro Ball?
Well, it's a marvellous cabaret. Bruges Forsyth is going to sing Little Sir Aku.
Yeah, good.
Hello. Hello.
I think you might catch up after all.
Mr. and Mrs. Paris and their daughter April Paris.
Welcome. The family Lake with their son Wayne.
And his fiancée Antwerp.
Known as the Beef Mountain to her intimates.
Would you welcome Mr. and Mrs. Recultural Policy and their wayward daughter Agnes, the common Aggie Recultural Policy.
You welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. Rupian Market and their unmarried son, Single Hugh Rupian Market.
Nope.
Marvel, if you will, during the cabaret at Rod Hull, entering the EMU.
Yeah, come in, interest. This is a very interesting family, which is a bit difficult to get your mouth around. The T family of Rome are with their daughter Deirdre. Deirdre T of Rome. It sort of vaguely works, but I mean...
Is that her Treaty of Rome?
If I was paid more, I'd do better at this. Deirdre T of Rome. It's very good, Deirdre T of Rome. Deirdre...
Ever since we were paid in EQs, isn't it?
And will you welcome, please, two of us from Switzerland representing the church and the laity, which is which? Oh, yes, I remember. I'm the church and you're the laity.
Deirdre T of Rome. No, I don't know. I never liked it anyway, bloody woman.
We have... I have to interrupt while the wit is still at its height and tell you that that's the end of this week's program.
Mr. and Mrs. Armin and their underwater serving son, Subs Iddy.
Join us again next time. Join us again next week, and from all of us, goodbye.
Choir, Graham Garden, Willie Ruston and Tim Brooke Taylor were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The program was produced by Joan Magnusson.